Welcome to episode number 16 of Marketing Like Jesus, the podcast that helps business leaders learn how to change the world for good by applying God-centered business principles and strategies. This show serves as a weekly reminder that God wants to be involved in your business. I'm your host, Darren Shear, author of the book Marketing Like Jesus, 25 Strategies to Change the World, and founder of Highbridge Books, a book publishing company that publishes and promotes books written by inspiring thought leaders. And this week on Thursday, September the 25th, 7 p.m. Central Time, I'll be presenting a live webinar, a free live webinar, about how to publish a book. And I especially wanted to extend this invitation to all of the Marketing Like Jesus podcast listeners. So if you've ever thought about writing or publishing a book, this webinar is for you. At the webinar, I'll be presenting strategies for writing, editing, publishing, designing, funding, marketing, and selling your book. And this is all going to be based on what I've learned as the author of two books and the publisher of 15 books. You can register for the event at highbridgebooks.com/webinar. And at the webinar, I'll also be giving away a $50 Amazon gift card, so you definitely don't want to miss that. On this week's episode, we have Scott Freestad, owner of Freestad Realty in Shreveport, Louisiana. In 2013, Scott sold more houses than any other real estate agent in Louisiana, and he's on track to do it again this year. I met Scott years ago when I was a brand new second lieutenant in the United States Air Force. I was stationed at Barksdale Air Force Base in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I'll never forget the day that I walked into church for the first time, the church that I would call home for the next 4 years during my experience in the Air Force in Louisiana. And this guy named Scott walked over to me, and here's what he said. "God told me to tell you that you have a heart the size of Texas." From that time, Scott and I became friends, and I'll never forget the day I shadowed him. Actually, he was a real estate agent at that time, working for not his own firm, but another one. And I just remember going around to a couple of different houses with him as he was meeting with these potential buyers. And I remember one day just watching him right in the middle of a discussion with this couple. He just stopped the business discussion and shifted into encouraging them in their family and in their marriage. I mean, it was like a real life example of marketplace ministry and truly inviting God to have his way in your business. He's an incredible encourager, husband, father, businessman, and a man of God. And he's here to help us learn how to change the world for good by applying God-centered business principles and strategies. Hi, Scott. Welcome to the Marketing Like Jesus podcast.
Good to see you, Darren.
Scott, tell us a bit more about yourself and how you got started in business.
All right. So like Darren said, I'm Scott Freestad, and I'm 41 years old. I also was in the Air Force, spent 9.5 years in the Air Force and landed here in Shreveport, Louisiana. And in 2003, my wife and I started buying and selling homes. And in 2005, I decided that this is something I wanted to do full time. And so I got my real estate license. Over a few years, I had some good success selling homes. But in 2008, I went through this a wilderness area where I had bought a national franchise and brought it to Shreveport, had some partners. And over a year and a half, we didn't always agree on everything. And so I let them buy me out, and I really went through a real deep depression during that time. And it was in that time, in that wilderness time, that God birthed this company, Freestead Realty. And, in Ephesians 3:20, the Bible says that God can do or will do more than we can ever ask or imagine. And that's exactly what's happened with this, with Freestead Realty and with our lives. Back in 2005, 6, and 7, when I first got started selling real estate, I had a goal every year to sell 50 houses. And I felt like if I sold 50 houses, man, I was really doing well. To sell 50 houses, I have to show up every day, and work hard every day. And, you know, I can just tell you that what God did is, he had something totally different in mind. You know, last year, 2013, I closed 189 deals. So closed 50 homes in a 3-month period. And I've already done that many this year. So, it's just an amazing deal when we let God take over, when we get out of the way, when we let God take over.
Scott, you're an amazing guy, but that's a lot of houses. I mean, to sell more houses than any other agent in an entire state. And I mean, you're an amazing guy, but I mean, you're a regular guy, you know? And I mean, just to see the work of God and how God has just blessed you is just, it's such a testament to his power and his work in your life.
Yeah, Darren, I used to have to toil and struggle to find clients. You know, in the real estate business, you either represent a seller or you represent a buyer. And most agents spend the majority of their time working to find a client. And then when they find a client, you know, the rest just, once you get good at your trade, the rest comes naturally. Well, I'm in a place now that I don't have to go find clients. Banks just, they just give us their listings. Once they foreclose on a home, they give us their listings. And so it enables me to, I don't have to spend 3/4 of the day going and trying to find a client. You know, I open my email box in the morning, I might have 3, 4, 5 properties that a bank has given me. So that's what enables me to enables us to sell so many properties.
Mm. Incredible. So when did you first make the connection between God's work and your work in business?
So, you know, I was raised in an Assembly of God home. My dad was a pastor of a very small church for my whole upbringing. And when I was 15 and a half, when I was 12 or 13, I had a paper route. I always worked. My parents didn't make much money. Mm-hmm. And when I was 15, I bought this little 1972 Pinto and was able to drive around the church parking lot. We lived in the parsonage and had a, you know, decent sized parking lot. And about 3 weeks before I turned 16, I remember on a Wednesday night, my dad came to me and asked me to sign the pink slip over of that car to a family in the church.
Mm. Wow.
You know, at that point, I realized, you know, I didn't realize it then, but years later, I realized that nothing really belonged to me, that everything I have is his.
Yeah.
And so I've had to learn that if I'll just keep my hands open, mm-hmm. God will pour into them. And then there'll be times that everything in them will pour back out. And it's a really neat place to be, where you can live with open hands. God is so amazing that, you know, it took me a lot of years to figure out that I wasn't called into the church, that I wasn't called into the four walls. But when I did figure it out and I allowed God just to use me wherever I was, the blessing that followed is it's very hard to explain. But, you know, that lesson when I was 15 that my dad taught me, that nothing really belongs to me. Mm-hmm. God can use that. You know, if we as businessmen will get into that place where nothing belongs to us, God can use that. Yeah. And when God finds a vessel he can use, he's just going to continue to pour into it.
Oh, that is such powerful advice. I mean, it's tempting as a business person, as an entrepreneur, to kind of really get arrogant about what we achieve and feel like we did it on our own, as if, you know, the Bible says that we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. And so, I mean, just that lesson that you learned at the age of 15 to just keep an open hand and just realize that when it comes down to it, it all belongs to him. So what's one of your favorite business principles from the Bible, Scott?
You know, I have a few really, you know, favorite principles, but something that's helped us build this business and keep my marriage together and raise my children is, you know, in Luke 16:10 and in Matthew 25:23, the Bible speaks about being faithful in the little. Mm-hmm. And I can say without any hesitation that that's what's helped this business build, it's what's helped keep my marriage together, and it's helped me raise my three teenage kids, is, being faithful in the little. Luke says that if we're faithful in the little, that we'll be faithful over the large. And in Matthew, it says, to those who have been faithful in the few things, I'll make you rule over many things. And it's the one resounding principle of this company, and all of our employees and agents live by it, that we're faithful in the little. If a bank or a client gives us a task and it's in our power to do it today, we do it today. We don't put it off till tomorrow, because tomorrow's going to bring more tasks and more challenges and more opportunities. And so it's the one thing I've seen in this business with other successful people that are in our industry, is the lack of being faithful in the little. If you can't be faithful in the little, you sure can't be faithful over the great. And so whether it come, whether you're dumping trash or you're selling homes or you're flying airplanes, the every little thing counts. And so it is my favorite business principle, is, and it's the thing I teach to my staff, is, if you'll be faithful over the little, you'll master much.
I mean, because I can imagine it could be a little bit discouraging. It'd be easy to not take one of those appointments seriously when maybe you got some vibe over the phone from somebody that was inquiring about buying a house, and you're like, ah, they're not really serious. But to just realize that verse and just being faithful to just, I mean, serve that person and be faithful with that opportunity to the best of your ability. I mean, look where it's taken you, and it reminds me of the mission statement. I was just sharing a little bit about Truett Cathy a couple weeks ago on the podcast, who just passed away, the founder of Chick-fil-A, and that's actually their corporate mission statement, is to be faithful stewards of all that God has entrusted to us. And that's exactly what Scott's talking about here, is just every part of our business. I mean, every encounter with a customer, every resource that God entrusts to your business, I mean, be faithful with that, because it has been entrusted by God himself.
Yeah, so if you just apply it to real estate, if you can just, take a drive through your city, there are $10,000 homes and there are $1 million homes. And obviously, if you're paid a commission based on a sales price, you want to sell that $1 million house. But when you're faithful with the $10,000 house, God takes that and blesses it. And maybe you never sell that $1 million house, but you might sell 180 of those $10,000 houses. And in the end, it all is the same.
Well, how have, you've already shared several examples, but what's another example of how you've seen God at work in business?
All right, so I've got a couple of great examples here, and I know we don't have 8 hours, so I'm gonna give you probably the best example I have. So in our business, we do business with banks and with asset management companies, and some of them are owned by the government. Some of them are government run, and some of them are private run. And so, a few, and the goal is to be direct with all of them. If you, as a in our industry, if you can get direct with every bank that forecloses or that loans money on homes, you're probably at a pretty good place. And getting direct with them is near impossible. So I was not direct with what I would call a top two a few years ago. And I was at a missions conference in North Carolina with the two brothers that taught me this business. And I got a phone call when my wife and I had just checked into a hotel. We were in an elevator going up to our room, and I got a phone call from a local lender in Shreveport. Again, I was in North Carolina. I never leave town, but I wanted to go to this 2-day conference. And so this local lender told me her name, and I had never met her, and I had never met, and she was in Shreveport, and she was with a very large lender, and she wanted to interview me, or interview someone from our company, because she was tasked with picking a foreclosure agent to replace a current agent they had. And 2 or 3 nights earlier, she was having dinner with my banker, the guy that I borrow money with to buy homes with. And so she called me. I'm in an elevator. I don't have access to any of my files on my server. And she says that, you know, she wants to meet with me in the next day or two. She has 48 hours to give corporate her suggestion on who they should hire. And, you know, I was really at a disadvantage, serious disadvantage. I couldn't meet with her. I couldn't put on a suit and tie. I couldn't take her to lunch. And so I just explained my circumstance and asked her, can we do the interview over the phone? And she said yes. So she gave me about an hour to prepare. And she asked me if I could send her a resume. And it's something that we keep on file in this business, especially when we're trying to get business from banks. A lot of them want to see your resume. And so I called back to the office, and I didn't have a big staff at the time. I had two full-time people is all I had. And I got my main field guy, the guy that does all my outside work for me, got him on the phone, had him look and read my resume to me, my business resume. And it was outdated. It was a year old. It didn't have our latest successes on it. It was not a very good resume. And over about a 20-minute period, we tweaked it just a little bit, but I didn't have time. You know, I was at a serious disadvantage. She was going to interview three agents, and her recommendation was probably going to get picked. So we get on the phone and we talk for a little while. I remember sitting in that hotel room telling my wife, this could not have come at a worse time. You know, this is a client we've been trying to pick up for a year or a year and a half. So an agent almost has to die in order for you to get in with this client. And here they were calling me when I'm out of town. And so my wife and I prayed in the hotel room. And so anyway, we did the interview, and she really liked what she heard. And 4 or 5 days later, I got a call from the corporate office telling, you know, asking me to fill out a whole lot of paperwork, send my insurances, and because they had chosen me. That's one situation that I can tell you that I had nothing to do with. You know, there, like you said, there are times that our ego and our man stands up and says, I built this, or this is because of me. But that's one of those, it's one of my largest clients that I can look at and say, emphatically, I had nothing to do with that situation. And in fact, left to my own vices, there's no way I land that client. But because God stepped in and took over for me and did more than I could ask or imagine, we landed that client. And within, you know, a couple of weeks, they dropped 15 or 20 homes on us. And we've probably sold, in 2 years, we probably sold, you know, 75 homes for that one client.
Wow. That's incredible. You know, Scott, it kind of reminds me of, there's a verse that I was just reading the other day where he's talking about how, what it's like to be born again. He's talking to Nicodemus and basically tells him it's sort of like the wind. A life with the Holy Spirit it's sort of like the wind. You don't know where it came from or where it's going, but I mean, when you feel the wind, you know it's there, even though you can't actually see it. And I mean, just to see God at work in your life, sometimes it's like that. I mean, you don't know where, I mean, it just kind of comes out of nowhere when God does something like that in your life. And I mean, you're just basically along for the ride, you know, and all we have to do is, like you just said a few minutes ago, is just be faithful with each opportunity that he kind of blows into our path. Well, Scott, what's the hardest lesson that God has ever taught you in business?
All right. So I think the hardest lesson that God's ever taught me, and he is still teaching me, and it may be a man thing, it may be my upbringing, I don't know, but that this business and the success that I've had, and even my marriage, that it's not about me. You know, and this is a daily struggle. I mean, if I'm being 100% honest with you, I can tell you that it's a daily struggle for me. When you come from nowhere and all of a sudden you think you've arrived, I have to look at my circumstances every day and see if this isn't about me.
Yeah.
You know, and there's been times in my life that God's had to bring someone in and correct that. And, you know, that's really my prayer daily, is that God didn't have to bring a donkey into my life to put me back on track. That, no matter what I do, no matter how good I perform, I know that it's not me. And so, you know, I think for any businessman or woman, that if they'll grab a hold of that concept, that it is not about them. God didn't create them to go earn a bunch of money so that they could spend a bunch of money. God didn't give them a business so that they can their name and their picture can blow up every billboard and it be about them. Because that's not God's intention for our life, and it's not God's intention for our businesses. And so, you know, it's a lesson that God's taught me and that I'm constantly learning.
Scott, what's a specific example of how God taught you this lesson that it's not about you?
I think I learn best through correction, you know. Mm-hmm. And over the course of my life, when I start to think it's about me and things change when they shouldn't change, you know, I think that's where I've learned it best. Again, in real estate, people right now most people think the economy is doing great. Real estate is rebounded, and if that were the case, my business would be slowing down. And instead, my business is totally increasing. But there were times in the past where, you know, we were humming, we were doing really well, but then it became about me, and I wanted all the credit and the glory, and things just came to a screeching halt. And so, and the same thing is true in my marriage too. You know, when I take the focus off of her and put it on me, things don't go, they don't go as well. And you know, that's a godly principle that I've seen over my whole life. You know, when I look in the mirror, I can't see Jesus. You know, I see me.
Yeah. You know, I've heard it said that how you do anything is how you do everything. And it's amazing, the way that we are in business is how we are at home. You know, it's the way we treat people when we go out. It's the way we treat people at home. And because it really comes down to what Solomon said, that guard your heart, because from it flow all the issues of life. And so it sounds like that's what you're saying, is you really have to allow God to keep your heart in check, because it directly impacts your business, directly impacts your family.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Scott, what's one of the most effective marketing strategies that you've ever used, and what results did it produce?
All right. So I'm going to give you two marketing strategies for real estate. So being faithful in the little, we're going to go back to that. In our business, being faithful in the little takes you so far. I mean, it takes you all the way. But I think in real estate, the best marketing strategy anyone can have is to love people. You know, we serve a God who is love. And when we love people, it pays dividends. And, you know, I'm not sure that it really matters what business you're in. If you're a guy or a gal that just loves people the way Christ loves you, people are going to be attracted to you, and they're going to be attracted to the product that you have.
Yeah.
Even if they don't need the product, if you show the love of Christ to people, they're going to be attracted to you. And so I don't think real estate's any different. We're not in a business where it's high pressure sales, where we have to convince someone to buy it. We help them through the transaction. A house sells itself. And so once we polish our skills, we're just there, and we love people through the process and try and minimize the drama.
Yeah.
And so I think that is the most effective marketing strategy, is to have the posture of love.
Powerful. You know, and it reminds me of whenever you walked across the church before. I mean, you had never even met me, and said those kind words that you felt like God wanted you to share with me about me having a heart the size of Texas. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you were trying to sell me a house at that. At that point in time, you know, so that is excellent, excellent feedback. Did you want to share another one?
No, I mean, that's what we've used, and it's done well for us.
Got it. Well, besides the Bible, what is your main go-to source for information about how to improve your business?
All right. So, you know, I've learned a lot from my pastor. Denny Duron's an incredible guy. And so, you know, going to church and listening to that guy preach, I've learned a whole lot about my business, or how to do business. I read a lot of books. You know, I think anything published by Thomas Nelson is good. There's a pastor in Frisco named Keith Kraft that is a phenomenal speaker on motivation and business, and I listen to him a lot. And there's three guys here in Shreveport that have just loved me through all of my issues. You know, that are businessmen themselves. Wes Yusei, who owns an alarm company here, and Mike Jones and Jeff Westmoreland, who's an attorney. And those three guys I turn to often in the high points and the low points of my business. And so, you know, I'll have to say, other than the Bible, people are who I turn to. You know, obviously people write books and people create podcasts. And I've just found that going to people has helped me tremendously.
So good. Scott, how can people get involved with what you're doing?
All right. So here's what I think I'm doing. I don't think we're here to sell homes. I think we're here to be his hands and feet and to be his voice and to finance things for the kingdom. That's really what I believe. Acts 2:17 says it this way, "And it shall come in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams." And so people can get involved with that by just listening to the voice of God, by being faithful in everything he says. You know, part of serving God is being faithful in little. And when God tells you to walk across the church and tell someone something, you know, you got to do it. And when you do, there's this reward that comes not only for the person that you're speaking to, but to you yourself. So, I mean, I think people can do what you and I do just by being faithful, just by, you know, spending some time with the Lord and asking him, what can I do? What can I do? It doesn't matter how gifted you are or what talents you have. I think if you just stay open to God's voice and being faithful to whatever he says, step out in faith every once in a while when you hear God speak, that it's going to take you far.
Step out in faith when you hear God speak. Scott, this has been phenomenal. Thanks for coming on to share your time and expertise with us. Keep up the great work and keep doing great things for God in the marketplace.
All right. It's been good talking to you, Darren.
That's all for this week's podcast. Don't forget about the book publishing webinar that I'll be presenting this week on Thursday, September the 25th at 7 p.m. Central Time. Again, if you have ever thought about writing or publishing a book, this webinar is for you. You definitely don't want to miss it. You can register for this free webinar at highbridgebooks.com/webinar. Thanks for listening, and remember to keep doing business God's way.